Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Vayera. This week, we're pleased to welcome a new commentator to the podcast series, Rabbi Mike Feuer. Rabbi Mike Feuer is a member of the Pardes faculty, and his courses include Chassidut, Rav Kook, and Halacha. And now, Rabbi Mike Feuer.
Thank you, Larry. Hello, everyone. We're going to be discussing Parashat Vayera this week. And though there are many rich themes in the Parsha, I want to focus on three particular verses, and that's in the 18th chapter, verses 17, 18, and 19. So first, let's read them, and then we'll see if we can take them apart. V'Adonai amar, ha-mechasa ani me'Avraham, asher ani oseh. And God says, should I hide from Avraham that which I'm going to do? That which he's about to do, by the way, is destroy Sdom ba'amora, Sodom and Gomorrah. And the next verse says, Va'avraham hayo yeg legoy gadol v'atzum, v'nivrchu bo kol goy ha'aretz. And Avraham is going to be a great and numerous people, and all of the nations of the earth will be blessed in him. The last line, Ki yedativ leman asher yitzaved banav v'et beito acharav, v'shamru derech Adonai la'asot daka u'mishpat. Ma'an havi Adonai al Avraham et asher dibe alav. And I have known him in order that he command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of God, to do righteousness and justice, in order that God will bring on Avraham that which he has spoken. So there are many questions in these lines. First of all, what does this divine question mean? Hamechaseani me'Avraham asher ani oseh. Why can't God hide things from Avraham? Why does he need to tell him what he's about to do? Well, it seems that there's an answer in the second line, but it's not so clear what it is. God feels he can't hide the imminent punishment of Sodom from Avraham because he's going to be a great and numerous nation, and all the nations will be blessed through him. This begs a very deep question. What is the connection between the future status of the children of Avraham as a great and numerous nation and God's need to reveal this imminent destruction to Avraham? And what is the blessing that Avraham will bring to all the nations of the world? And how does that connect to the incidents in our story? Last line, when it says that I've known him, Rashi says Yedativ, it's not just that God has known him, that he cherishes Avraham, that he loves him, and it's this act of love which God gives to Avraham in order that he will command his children, first of all, to go in the way of God, which it defines as righteousness and justice or judgment, and in order that God can bring on Avraham that which he has promised him, which is furthermore quite strange. If God has promised something to Avraham and he wants to give it to him, then why is it dependent upon Avraham's actions? By the way, Rashi just points out that that which he will bring is not actually to Avraham, it's to his children, to this nation that will come after him. And he says a beautiful statement that anyone who raises righteous children, we see from this, never really dies. So, what happens after God has this internal discussion? He reveals to Avraham the plan to destroy Sodom, that they're great sinners, that their evil ways have lifted up to the heavens and God has seen them. And what does Avraham do? He enters right into conflict with God. I'm not going to detail the conflict for you. You can read the rest of the 18th chapter if you're interested in the back and forth between God and Avraham. But I would like to note what to me is the most important statement in this entire discussion, and perhaps reveals to us one of the deepest aspects of Avraham's character. When God says he's going to destroy everyone, Avraham immediately says, what, the righteous and the wicked together? And here in the 25th line of the 18th chapter, he throws down a challenge to God. Chalilalach, he says. He said, basically, God forbid. It's a mundane, horrible act for you. Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat. The judge of all the earth won't do justice. He throws down the gauntlet to God and says, how on earth can you do an unjust thing like this? Well, right away, we can see that this is quite odd. Where on earth does Avraham get his idea of Mishpat from to begin with? One would assume that it's God. And by the way, just as a side thought, this is a challenge to the perspective that says that automatically anything which God does is moral. Because here we see God announcing his intention and Avraham challenging it on the basis of mishpat, justice. And it's important also to note that Avraham is the first person in our story, in this biblical story, to assert himself against God, at least since Adam. And there's a deep connection there that I encourage you to contemplate. Now, I think there's two ways to understand this challenge. First of all, this might just be a kishkes moral stand. Avraham's got a gut feeling that this is wrong. And in fact, we see in the words of the sages in the Midrash that they locate Avraham's learning about God from his own kidneys. He had an inner sense of righteousness. So perhaps what Avraham is asserting to God is, this is not how the world ought to be. I don't care if you're telling me that that is the way it is going to be. It's not how it ought to be. And that's an inner moral sense. Or perhaps it could be an expression of Avraham's relationship to God. I think we all have good friends, and we've all seen friends and loved ones who are acting in a way which is not truly their higher self. And when you really love someone and you see them acting in a way which is not expressive of their full potential, what do we say? We say, I know you better than that. That's not who you want to be. And perhaps this is what Avraham is saying to God. Wait a minute. Hashofit kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat. The judge of all the earth won't do justice. I know what justice is. You, God, have taught me what justice is. And this is not it. I know you better than that, God. You want more than that for your creation. And therefore, instead of Avraham saying, this is not how the world ought to be, he's asserting to God that this is not how you want the world to be. Now, I have a side question. It's not really a side question. I think it actually will reveal to us some of the answers to my primary question, which is, what is the connection between this incident and the blessing which God sees Avraham bringing to all the nations of the world? And the question is, what is the first prayer in the Chumash? I encourage you to go back, start at the story of Adam, and read forward. It hasn't been so many chapters. And ask yourself, what is the first prayer? Is it Cain's crying out to God? Is it Noach's sacrifices after he leaves the ark? Well, instead of answering right away, I'll give you a clue. It's always worthwhile to find the home base of any word, its first location in the Torah, because Hebrew, like all languages, is referential. With the first time it says Shabbat in the act of creation, all we know is that God Shabbated. We don't know what that means until the word gets usage later and we have some context for its meaning. So here, the word for prayer in Hebrew is tefillah. And there's a tremendously rich research of trying to figure out what exactly the word means, which we're not going to do right now. But if you look in our parsha, in the 20th chapter, in the 7th line, there's a whole story about Avraham and his wife Sarah, and how Sarah is taken captive after Avraham tells Avimelech, the king of the Plishtim, that she is his sister and not his wife, the second time he's done this. He did it last week as well. And Avimelech has a dream. In that dream, God says, I'm going to kill you. He says, why? Well, you've taken this man's wife. He says, what? She's his wife? He told me she was his sister. And then God says, don't worry. Go to this man and give him back his wife. And it says there in the 20th chapter in the 7th line, Vata hashev et eshet aish. Now give back the wife of this man, ki navihu v'yitpalel ba'adcha v'chayeh. Because he is a navi, he is a prophet, v'yitpalel, and he will pray on your behalf, and you will live. So one thing we can say for sure is that the word tefillah in its original usage is an intercession. It's an intercession, and I want to argue that the first tefillah, the first prayer in the Chumash, is actually Abraham's intercession with God on behalf of the city of Sodom. Because up until now, we've seen appeasement of an angry God. We've seen admission of guilt. But what we have not seen is an entering into conversation with the divine. And that's exactly what Avraham does. He asserts himself. And apparently God wanted him to do it. That's the secret of the first line we looked at. V'Hashem amar, ha-mechaseani me'Avraham, ha-she'ani oseh. How can I hide such a thing from Avraham? Because I want him to be my partner in creation. That will be his greatness. God wants Avraham to intercede in order to do two things. First of all, to draw out his own moral vision. Avraham has a sense in his kishkes, in his kidneys, of what's right and wrong. And when he says, Hashofit kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat, he is asserting to God that this is not the way the world ought to be, whether you want it that way or not. That's the first stage. But I believe that on the second stage, he's also inviting Abraham into an intimate relationship. And now we know that intimate relationships are characterized by caring struggle. I love someone and I want them to be their fullest whole self. And I want to be in right relationship with them, which means I, of course, also have to be my whole fullest self. Healthy relationships are built on a healthy sense of self. Abraham must be separate. He must be Abraham. He cannot just be a yes man to God. And this is the beginning of that nature of relationship when he says for the first time in the entire Torah, no to God. Now, it's this power of prayer, of a vision of the way the world ought to be, and a belief that this is indeed the deeper divine will which can be summoned out through our intercession in creation, despite the appearances of how bad the world can be. You read the news, you might wonder yourself, really? God wants a good world? He wants healthy people? He wants there to be peace and sustenance? He wants goodness? It's not so obvious from the world. Well, here we learn from Abraham, in this case, a direct statement from God. I'm going to destroy Sodom because they're evil. And Abraham says, you can't do that. It's not right. That power of a vision of the way the world ought to be, coupled with a belief that it is indeed the deeper divine will that it be so, is Abraham's greatness and is also the blessing he brings to the world. Because it's an amazing thing, in that last verse that we read, there were two words that were combined in their first appearance in the Tanakh, prayer and prophet. Now, when we look later in the development of the Hebrew Bible, the prophet becomes many things. He becomes a pleader on behalf of Israel. He becomes a participant in the divine pathos in communicating the love and the pain and the anger of God to the people. But mostly, he's a bridge between the worlds. And the way in which this bridge expresses itself is what we call prayer. Either interceding with the divine and saying, I know you better than that. Shofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat. The judge of all the world is not going to do justice. The world is not meant to be this way. Your deeper will is that it be fixed. And then a turning toward Israel and saying, and now get to work. And this is the great blessing that Abraham will hand on to his children when he commands them to go in that way of righteousness and justice, in the path of God, as the verse says. And he is born again, as Rashi said, as a great nation, at the center of which will be the power of prayer and the voice of prophecy. Thanks for joining me for Parsha Vayera. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Feher. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.